Father, there's a lot of hurting people in our land today, the tragedies that are taking place. There's people in this chapel today that are hurting. Loss of loved ones, friends and relatives who need to know you and seem uninterested in trusting. There's financial challenges. There's relationships. We want to enjoy that peace that Tim talked about and that Jesus promised. And so much of that is connected to understanding the principle of Sabbath. Help us to be willing to take time out to think, to evaluate, and probably make some changes in our life, that we would enjoy that peace, that you would be honored, and that we would fulfill the purpose for which you've left us on this planet. Somehow today, dear God, those folks who have lost loved ones through the worst of circumstances that pains all of us across our land, you're able to give them peace. Peace that can't be explained, but that comes from you. May they know your grace today. Thanks for your word. Thanks for being our Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thanks so much for being here today. Appreciate Tim leading. I've wanted to have him do that from the piano and really appreciate what he did. We have so many people in our church family that do so many things so well. Tim is a vice principal at Barlow High School. He was in Denver all week long at a conference. Flew in late Friday night, was here for a meeting on Saturday morning that I'm responsible for. Thanks for doing that. Put today's service together. We had another group of people that worked the last 4 days putting siding on the youth center. To you guys who did that, I so commend you. One of our young high schoolers kind of managed that as an Eagle Scout project. And these veteran builders who could have gotten together and did that job in a day have spent the last 4 days coaching patiently young people, taught them how to use power tools, taught them how to draw straight lines and cut straight pieces of wood. I watched out my office window and just admired the patience of these guys and the mentoring that was going on, and said, thank you, Lord, for the lifelong impact that that has on these guys' lives. There's a lot of ministry that goes on around here that very few people really get to know about, but God knows, and I'm so grateful for all of you. Thanks for being a part of it. We could summarize the Ten Commandments in this outline in your notes. Wouldn't it be an amazing world? I'm not talking about unbelievers who don't care about Jesus. I'm talking about myself and yourselves and the Church of Jesus Christ. There's millions of us around planet Earth. We're in a minority in terms of the major population, but there's a bunch of us, and I'm one of them. And I can't change all that out there, but I can make a difference in my life and the way I live. Wouldn't it be something if each of us, as followers of Jesus, truly practiced a one God outlook on life? Just one God. And we were adamant about that. We were committed to that. There is one God, Creator God, and He's the one in charge. He's the creator. He's the controller. He has the final say, and He manages my life. He brought me into His family through the work of Jesus, who also is God, and He manages my life by the Holy Spirit, who also is God, using the Word of God. And then along with that, that we would have no counterfeit gods. We just wouldn't bring that clutter into our life. We wouldn't let things or people or desires or attitudes corrupt our one God outlook on life. And we would simply continually have a mindset that says, Satan, take a hike, be gone. That's what Jesus said to him. Quoted him some scripture, and that would be our life. And then one name. We looked at that last week. Most of us would say, sure, there's only one way to get into the family of God. It's through Jesus. Isn't it interesting that many people who will make that statement and who I'm sure are a part of God's family, they've taken advantage of the grace of God, and Jesus has, by the Spirit of God, sealed us into his family, and yet I'll still hear them say, but you know, everybody's going to kind of make it eventually, and that belief system is probably okay too. You know it's not. The Bible is very narrow. There's one name. There's one Savior. There's one Lord. There's one salvation. And we need to be careful with the name of God, use it wisely, and benefit from what it means. Today's Sabbath, and I like the word intermission. I'll come back to that. I believe a good definition of Sabbath is intermission. I think that comes from many of the suggestions from the original. And then one family. Wouldn't it be something if honoring mom and dad went more than just lectures to children of how you should treat your mom and dad? Wouldn't it be something if all of us honored our parents and our grandparents and we honored the whole concept of family and we really understood what that means? Wouldn't it be a different world if all Christians really honored family? There's way too many families that are having all sorts of confusion and disheartening experiences because of a lack of honor for family. And then to value life. Not just that we wouldn't go out and kill somebody, but to honor life from conception to the grave and all that that means. An amazing guideline. And then to practice purity. To be committed to purity. To respect ownership. To not take advantage of other people's things, to be completely honest, and to be content with life. I suggest that if I could really practice those 10 principles consistently, I'd be an amazing guy, don't you think? And so would you. And so would the Christian world. That's our goal. And as Zach said so well, none of us reaches perfection. We're perfect in Christ, but we're still in this imperfect body, and we're going to mess up, we're going to sin, we're going to confess it. We're going to hopefully grow and become more Christ-like over time and become more useful. We're dealing with all of that. But in the big picture, these are our guidelines. And if we would let the Spirit of God guide us to practice them, what an amazing church it would be. Think how the world would change if humans followed these directives. Followers of Jesus are not left on planet Earth to make people live within these boundaries. That's not our job. God will do his work, but we are told to live within them ourselves. It's not about them. It's about me. It's about us. I think that next paragraph is, it probably needs to be published throughout the world. The meaning of Sabbath and the application of Commandment 4 to followers of Jesus has been debated too often, and I could add for too long by too many people, and practice too little. God's guidelines have purpose. Sabbath, people love to bat Sabbath around. They like to get all caught up in the fact that, well, the culture was different under the Jewish regime in the Old Testament than it is now. You know what? That's absolutely true. The culture is different today in Wood Village, Oregon, than it was out in the sticks of Colorado where I grew up a bunch of years ago. A lot of things have changed. Back then, when I was growing up, you had a hard time finding a fuel station to fuel your car on Sunday. You better do it on Saturday. You had a hard time finding a grocery store open. You better shop the day before. You had a hard time finding a restaurant open. You better take care of that. Or if you needed to go find one, you'd have to look for it. And it was much easier in an agricultural environment for people who wanted to do it, and my family did, to do the basics, to take care of the animals, but to basically have a day that you didn't do the stuff that you did the other 6 days. That's much more difficult to do in our culture today. And I will not suggest at all that we should figure out a way to shut down everything on Sunday. And if you really were going to be legalistic, you wouldn't do it on Sunday. You would do it on Saturday. So that eliminates another whole argument for a lot of people. It's a principle that I think God has given to us. And it's an intermission. We do it all the time. We go to a concert. It's a wonderful concert. We're enjoying all of it. And what do? They have an intermission. Obviously, they want to sell refreshments, and we need the restroom. But really, it's a time to kind of digest what we've heard and then go back and get some more. It happens in so many parts of life. It's a kind of a timeout. And it makes a difference to practice that. The key principle is rest, but not necessarily because you're tired. And as Tim pointed out to us, God never gets tired. So obviously the definition of Sabbath is way beyond the principle of just being tired. I think there's four things that are a part of Sabbath. And God organized this and gave it to us in a way that would be applicable for all people, all time, no matter what the culture would be. And the emphasis is on holiness. Have you noticed as it starts out in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And in the end of verse 11, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So we could put an umbrella over this whole thing about Sabbath and say, are we practicing holiness when we think about this whole idea of Sabbath, which should be for more than just one day of the week? It should be all of them. It's about reflection. Genesis 1:1, God did all these wonderful things and he saw what he had done and it was good. He was looking at it. He was evaluating it. He was appreciating it. He was reflecting on it. You guys that did your work project this week, you stood back and you saw what you had done and you said, this is good. We do that in our gardens. We do that when we work on our car. We do that when we paint our house. Hopefully we do that when we accomplish an assignment at school or at work or whatever it might be. We said, this is good. Or I think I wish I'd have done that a little bit different. And that's the correction area. It's a time for review. Humans need to review. Why do we get tests given to us in school? A lot of times we feel like it's to show how little we know or how much we know, but they should be an opportunity to review what we have learned and to reinforce in our mind what we're getting. Sabbath is for review. It's for reflection. It's for review. And it's for recreation. There's a lot of recreation that is extremely valuable and important and necessary. It ought to be wholesome. It ought to be holy. But recreation is very much a part of Sabbath rest. And certainly not in God's case, but in the human case, it's a time for correction. If you're making a trip from here to New York in an airplane and you're the person in the cockpit that's responsible to watch everything, and you get a little ways out and you find out that you're just the tiniest percentage off course, if you don't take some time and review that and reflect on it, and make a course correction, you'll probably land in Georgia, which is not where you want to go. And many humans, and I'm as guilty as anybody, we get going down a path and we think we're doing everything right and we're intent on it, we're working at it. And if we don't stop and take a look and say, is this exactly the way I wanted to go on this? Is this correct? Is this right? Is this going to reach my destination? If we don't do that, we may not reach the spot we want to reach. When we think about habits and attitudes that develop in our life, this is so crucial. Because little things grow into big things. And so often, our mind will go a little bit sideways. Our desires will get a little bit off course. Our attitude will be a little bit less than what it should be. It happens to all of us. Nobody is exempt from this. And if we don't keep a continual Sabbath attitude, which means regularly, maybe multiple times throughout the day, stopping and reflecting on where we are and reviewing the course, we will get off course big time. So that's what Sabbath is really all about. So I want to pull a few life lessons out of this that we might be able to take with us. Because I believe that in America, we have probably more emphasis on recreation than most countries of the world, and we are doing less Sabbath than most countries of the world. I mean, shorter work weeks and more vacation and more opportunity to travel and all the things that we cram into our life that we call recreation that sometimes is so far from anything called rest or peace. And yet, is it really Sabbath involved? Is it really helping us stay on course in life and making sure that we're right where God wants us to be? So I think it's something to be thinking about a lot. The need for rest is about more than being tired. In fact, not only did God not get tired when he set this principle up, but I think it's true. You'll have to decide if it's true for you. For me, it's often true that my need for Sabbath is sometimes stronger when I haven't had proper physical rest at all. I'm involved in a project. I'm going and doing and accomplishing, and I'm wired, and I can't even go to sleep at night because this stuff is all going on. And really, I may be really tired and really need a physical and mental and emotional and even spiritual rest, but I'm not resting at all. I'm not Sabbathing at all. I'm not taking an intermission. It's more than just being tired. In fact, I think sometimes when we think we're so tired that we just need to sleep for the next 3 days, probably we need to stay up long enough to do some real Sabbath and figure out why we're in that situation. How did we get to a place where we're so drained out, so weary, so burned out, so crabby with everybody? We need an intermission. Probably need that even before we get a lot of sleep. It's about more than being tired. You know, our culture's not helping us with this at all. Our culture is squeezing Sabbath right out of our lives. And I've seen this progress, and you've seen this progress in the last 20 to 50 years, especially in the last 20 to 30 years. Typically, in the early years of our ministry, you could plan some things on Sunday and be pretty sure that you'd have the majority of the Christian people in your influence doing that with you. Now, today, music programs, sports programs, you name it programs, they found out that Sunday was one day of the week that a lot of people have a little extra time. So what did they do? They filled it with all of their stuff, and it's good stuff. And families now have to make a decision. Is my kid going to be in Little League or are they going to be in Sunday school? That's a crummy decision. You know what? I'm not fighting that. I'm not telling anybody what they should or should not do. You know what I'm working on prayerfully? I think the next service that we had at Wood Village Baptist Church might be a midweek worship service. Maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday. Because in our culture, a whole lot of the people have to work on weekends. That's when their job happens. It's like having a motel at the coast. If you don't work on Sunday and Saturday, you probably don't have any business. And they need an alternate time. So I'm not suggesting that I'm going to take on Little League and music and all the things that clutter people's lives. I'm looking for creative ways to help people get a worship experience and that element of Sabbath, because we all need that. You can help me with that, or you can tell me I'm out to lunch. I accept both. Life is more enjoyable when we take time to reflect. You know that. I know that. Why don't we do more of it? Just take time to reflect. Take time to enjoy. Take time to look at relationships and projects and accomplishments and habits that are changing, and just enjoy it. Our culture says that's downtime. You ought to be doing something. You are doing something. You're Sabbathing. And I think that's a discipline that many of us struggle with. I know that I do. And because humans are not perfect, we need to continually review. When God looked at all of his things, and when he looks out at his work today, he doesn't see even one little thing that he looks at and says, huh, I should have done that differently. Not the creator. I think he looks at me sometimes and says, what do I do with him? I wish he would do things differently. But we need that review. I think it's interesting to watch sports events. I see it especially in basketball. And you'll have this sports team come to town, and they're really good, and they're playing this team that's not all that good. And the game starts, and the team that's not all that good is just kind of beat before they start. But for some reason, in those opening minutes, the real good team kind of gets ahead, and then the underdog starts catching up. and they even the score. And they go ahead. And they're on a roll. And these guys that are always used to winning, they're kind of looking at each other like, what's happening? And what does a wise coach do? Time out. And he sets his guys down. And he reminds them of who they are and what they're made of and what they're letting these guys do to them. And usually they come roaring back in and they take off again. It's amazing what a little timeout will do. We're not perfect. We need to continually review and find out what's working and what isn't and why. Appropriate recreation is included in God's design for our life. Recreation is a good thing. We kind of recreate our mind and our emotions and our thinking and our spiritual drive. You can't do that if you're just going 100 miles down through life and not looking around and not thinking about anything. It takes time. Sabbath is discipline. And most of us will struggle with doing it appropriately. Corrections made quickly prevent lingering fallout from mistakes. And that's just a no-brainer. We all know that. If we're a little bit off course and we don't correct that, then the long term is a major disaster. I've thought about these principles in light of relationships. Isn't it true that when two people, two followers of Jesus, two committed Christians, whether it's in marriage or at work or in church or whatever the relationship, when something comes in that has the potential of just driving that relationship apart, maybe it's a harsh word because somebody is tired. Maybe it's a short fuse because somebody said something that wasn't kind or maybe not even intended that way, and the other person just reacts. And we know what happens if that's allowed to go on. It gets louder. It gets more intense. It gets more wordy. And when it's over, two mature adults will admit that they were being very childish and they should never let this escalate to that point. You know what they forgot? Sabbath. Sabbath. If somebody comes up to you today or comes up to me and says a harsh word, no matter how bad it stings, and I don't think about that enough and review that enough before I respond to them, I probably will regret my response, most likely. Now, if I'm prepared for that, and my heart is in the right place, I'll probably say, really? Can I think about that? Buy a little time. That's not typical human nature. And that's not the way I'm wired. That's not the way I came out of the womb. I was born with a short fuse. And as I grew a little older, I developed a tremendous ability to out-talk you no matter how loud I had to be. There's nothing mature about that. So we have this harsh word, and we have a decision to make. We need a little Sabbath in there to think about. Why did they say that? Is there any truth in it? Do I need to respond? If so, how do I respond? And the outcome will be so different. Sabbath. In relationships. The advertising world knows the benefit of keeping Sabbath out of our life. So they put this tremendous opportunity in front of us with an amazing discounted price. And if we don't have a little Sabbath in there, we'll buy into that before we think about it. How many times have we seen something and thought, such a deal, and then for some reason we thought about it long enough to realize we don't need it, we don't really want it, we can't afford it, it'll end up in the next garage sale, maybe I should walk away. Sabbath. Sabbath is more than a day. The principle of taking extended periods of time to rest and review and recreate and make course corrections, those are necessary. And if we can possibly build into our life chunks of time, whether it's Saturday, the real Sabbath, or Sunday, the day that became the day of worship because Jesus rose on the first day of the week, or Thursday afternoon, or Saturday night, or whatever it is, we need chunks of time that reflect the principle of Genesis and Exodus 20. Set aside the routine, quit doing all the stuff that's demanded, and rest, and focus, and enjoy, and pray. But we need a little Sabbath, 24/7. And if more of that comes into our life, we will be more effective, we will have more joy, and God will be honored. Isn't that exciting? Father, you gave to us a principle for life that's really pretty amazing. In the midst of telling us how to value life and honor family and have pure marriages, all under the umbrella of honoring you as God and letting you be the entire authority, in the midst of all of that, you said, do some Sabbath. Do what I, God, did when I was creating. I looked at what I had done, and it was good. And sometimes when I look at what I've done, I need to be able to say, that's good. And sometimes when I look at what I've done, I look at it and say, that could be better if I'd let God really guide the process and be disciplined. So my prayer today for us as a church family, starting with me as pastor, is that we would take Sabbath seriously. Practice intermission. Take time out to ponder, to reflect, to review, to enjoy, and to admit areas that need to be corrected. And to catch those and correct them by your grace and in your strength before they get really way off base and do major damage. And dear God, I thank you that it all starts with a relationship with you through Savior Jesus. We can put all of this stuff into practice, and a lot of it will be really helpful because you've designed it. But if it's just human effort, then it'll have human approval, which has no eternal value. We want our life to be secure in the family of God so that Jesus is the one that gets all the honor when we do things right, even practicing Sabbath. So today, dear God, for all of us who know you, thank you for the relationship. And to someone who's never trusted you with their life, they've never followed your directive to believe that Jesus is truly God, confess him as their Lord, and be allowed by you to be declared your child. Help them to do that today. All of the Sabbath effort in the world will come to an end, but our relationship with you will never come to an end, and it makes Sabbath eternally significant. And for that, I give you thanks. Help us to surrender every aspect of our life to you. And if we need to make some course corrections today, give us the courage to do that. Help us to help each other do that.